You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
And a happy new year to everyone out there. Hope you had a great end of 2024 and a terrific start to 2025. We got a loaded program here on this Thursday, January 2nd edition of the Gym Class as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. Great to have you aboard. Scott Unash here on our studios in the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. A white knuckle Andrew on the other side of the glass after... You got in with 5 minutes to spare, buddy boy.
Yeah, I did. It was the roads are a little rough out there today.
Yeah, they are. Please be careful out there. Winter weather advisory is starting to wind down. It goes until 6 o'clock officially. The snow is starting to wind down anyway in the Cedar Rapids metro area. Main streets are okay. Once you get to the side streets, that's when havoc starts to creep in because you think, hey, everything's fine. You get to a side street. Mm-hmm. No, they are not. They have not been plowed. They're working on them. Give them a lot of room as well.
Take your time. Leave a little earlier.
That's a good piece of advice. And if you don't have to go anywhere, just don't. Yeah. Just don't. Listen to us here today. Mark Dukes from the back porch in the southwest side. Happy New Year to you.
Yeah, you as well. And to Andrew and everyone out there. Snow, not our first rodeo, but first one of 25. After a pretty mild December, really.
Yeah, not too bad anyway, but 2025 starting off with a little bit of snow here on this Thursday. We got a lot to get to. Mark Ironside is going to join us coming up today in about 7 or 8 minutes or so, and we will catch up on the Soldier Salute, talk wrestling with Mark. Kevin Lehman, the coach, will talk college basketball on our Off the Glass segment. It is a regular for us each Thursday here on the Gym Class, brought to you by Chris Lehman with Edge Realty Group in Iowa City. So we will talk some hoops coming up as the conference seasons are underway. And a lot to get to prior to that, Mark. Iowa loses, Iowa State wins, college football playoff quarterfinals still going on. Georgia and Notre Dame, of course, after all the tragedy in New Orleans on the new year, they are just getting ready to kick off. And we'll keep you updated on what's happening at the Sugar Bowl in the Caesars Superdome down in New Orleans. But there's a lot to unpack here today.
Yeah, I guess, as far as Iowa State goes, what a terrific game. I thought they were going to be outmatched. But no one told me or us that Cam Ward was going to quit at halftime. And I did say quit. That doesn't mean Iowa State would not have won because Miami was having trouble stopping the Cyclones. And, Iowa State was shorthanded as well. So, but Cam Ward was making a difference in that first half. The bottom line is Iowa State won 11 games. Just a terrific conclusion for Iowa State.
And Iowa State will be more than likely a top 10 team going into next year with, as of right now anyway. Now, again, we're in the portal situation here, but as of right now, you got to think that Iowa State going to be in everybody's preseason top 10 for next year. I agree with you about Cam Ward. I just do not get it. It is a head scratcher. If you're going to play at all, why not play the entire ball game? You either play the entire ball game, or you sit out. You play a half thinking, you're not going to get hurt in the second half? And it boggles the mind. Now, did it help Iowa State? Absolutely it helped Iowa State. Does Iowa State win that game with Cam Ward going the entire 60 minutes? Probably, I would say not. I'd say not. Does not discourage the fact that Iowa State played a darn good football game. But I think with Cam Ward going 60 minutes, Miami wins that football game. Now Miami turned it over twice, and who's to say that Cam Ward wouldn't have thrown two interceptions in the second half, Mark?
We don't know what would have happened. That's clear. I do know that Miami would not have run the ball as much as it did with the backup as it would have with Cam Ward. Again, Iowa State may still have won the game, but the fact that Ward played a half, the only reason he played at all was to set the NCAA record for touchdown passes. Plain and simple. It wasn't for Miami to win the football game. It was for him to get a personal record. Otherwise, why would you play at all? I can't think of another reason. Why would you play the first half and not the second half? Plenty of players have not opted out. Some have opted out. But to play one half and not the second, I just don't get it.
I don't either. It was a complete surprise to me. And 319-366-1600 is the text line available to you. 319-366-1600. That's a phone line as well. If you'd like to pick up the phone and give us a call, that's also 319-366-1600. Greg and Epworth, Happy New Year to you. Agrees with you 100%, Mark. Cam got his record. Now, if Cam Ward, if this was a different time, Cam Ward would have to be in front of his teammates. He doesn't have to be in front of his teammates anymore. I mean, he's done with school. He's done playing for Miami. He's going to now go off on his own and get ready for the NFL draft. It would have been hard for me to look into teammates' eyes. Now, granted, I am not nearly the athlete that Cam Ward is. It would have been difficult for me to do that. I guess times have changed, Mark.
And you didn't make the $2 million in NIL money that Cam Ward made either. Such has been reported. I don't know Cam Ward. He might be the greatest young man in the world. I don't know. But the decision, and it was covered up by head coach Mario Cristobal, who apparently said that was the plan all along. We're going to play Cam Ward the first half and not the second. And, you know, who's to blame him for not divulging that before the game? But just the whole way that thing transpired, it baffled me.
Yeah. That's Iowa State. As far as the Iowa Hawkeyes go, different situation. Iowa came out like gangbusters in that game. Everything went well in the first half. Hawkeyes had the lead going into the second half, as has been the formula many times. Turned it over to the defense. It's been done several times this year, and it didn't work again, as it has done in the 2024 season. Did not have great results there. Now, with that being said, Missouri made a lot of adjustments at halftime. Eli Drinkwitz, a very good coach, and I thought he made the adjustments he needed to make. Iowa made some very, very, very bad mistakes in the second half. Brendan Sullivan with an interception after playing what I thought was a pretty terrific ball game. Some very, very bad penalties in the second half by Iowa. Drop pass on a third down and a horrific, horrific quarterback sneak call with 40 seconds to go against 11 Missouri Tigers in the box. All adds up to a loss.
Yeah, it was just a horrible set of circumstances for Iowa between the Quinn Schulte late hit out of bounds. Actually, I thought Deontay Craig pushed him more than Quinn Schulte did, but nevertheless, that was a big penalty. And the drop pass by Jacob Gill on third down would have got Iowa a first down. You wouldn't anticipate that. The quarterback sneak, perhaps it would have been different if Iowa had a timeout left and could really think about what it wanted to run. And, yeah, maybe Missouri was offside at the line of scrimmage there. I don't know, but it was the third time this season Iowa's had a double-digit lead and not closed. It was troubling. But you also have to remember that Missouri's not Eastern Connecticut, okay? And Missouri's a pretty good football team, a ranked football team out of the SEC. And nobody's talking about the brilliance of the kicker that Missouri had. He had 51 and 56 yard field goals. That was a big part of the game as well, obviously.
Yeah, with Missouri with the wind aided in the fourth quarter, they had a really good kicker, a terrific kicker, and he showed it in the fourth quarter. Now, there was a being there at Nissan Stadium, there was a 20-mile-an-hour wind going from the south to the north that certainly helped, but he made those two with a lot to spare. And, hey, you got to give the kicker all the due in the world. As 5308 says, hats off to the Missouri kicker. He was at the game. Seeing a 56-yard field goal in person is quite impressive. A lot of things. Sack Sullivan took in the last drive is someone that no one talks about. You can't take a sack there. Absolutely. Cannot take a sack in that situation there. And as far as Cam Ward is concerned, as Cyclone Tim says, and we agree with you, Miami did lead by only 3 points at halftime. Could have won. Iowa State could have won with Ward playing. Absolutely. They could have won. No doubt about that. And Greg says millions of dollars make it far easier to stand up to your teammates. Well, he doesn't have to because he's not going to be around his teammates anymore out there. Yeah, 319-366-1600. And we're going to talk more about that tomorrow. A couple other things that I wrote down taking notes on the trip back that I want to talk about as well, not necessarily as far as Iowa and Mizzou is concerned, just about the college football playoff, because not going to get an opportunity to talk about the college football playoff a whole lot here today with Mark Ironside joining us coming up here in just a little bit, as well as Kevin Lehman here as well. Cajun Troy, Happy New Year to you. Hope you are doing well. We will not be able to broadcast any of the Sugar Bowl today, unfortunately. We had the plan to have our local programming start back up on Thursday. So that is what we are doing here today. Hey, Mark, before we get to Mark Ironside and before we get to an Emil Sideaway scoreboard update at the bottom of the hour, talking about the Sugar Bowl, you can update people on this week's edition of the Emil Sideaway Pick 6.
I can. It comes down to this Sugar Bowl game, and right now it stands if Notre Dame wins or covers the point and a half, that would mean I win. Should Georgia win and cover the point and a half, that would result in a three-way tie, and in that event, you would win on a tiebreaker, which was Cam Ward and Rocco Beck total passing yards. And those predictions were made before Cam Ward quit. I said quit.
Yeah, I had no idea Cam Ward was only going to go a half when I made that prediction, but that's the way it goes. Georgia had the ball first. Looks like they are getting ready to punt after one first down in their opening drive. And Notre Dame is going to get the ball coming up for their first drive of the ball game. We'll keep you updated on what's happening at the Sugar Bowl. 319-366-1600. And we are going to talk to Mark Ironside coming up here shortly and find out about the Soldier Salute, which took place Sunday and Monday. And then Kevin Lehman, the coach, who was down at Allen Fieldhouse for the big upset. West Virginia, undermanned West Virginia, Mark, coming in there and shocking the Kansas Jayhawks at the Fog in the Big 12 opener.
Yeah, undermanned in that Tucker DeVries, the best player for West Virginia. Son of the head coach, Darren DeVries, didn't play. He's out with an injury. But just a terrific win. Anxious to talk to Kevin about that. Not only that win, but the atmosphere at Allen Fieldhouse.
Yeah, yeah. If you've never been, I've never been. I would love to go to a game at the Allen Fieldhouse and see exactly what it's all about. Not the greatest day for Kansas basketball, though, in that one. Great win for Iowa State in their opener at Colorado. We'll talk about that. Iowa getting ready to open up Big Ten play once again after they did what they were expected to do against New Hampshire. And you and I on top of the Missouri Valley Conference. So we will talk all about that coming up here in just a couple of moments. 319-366-1600. Let's do this, Mark, while Andrew is getting ready to talk with Mark Ironside. Let's go ahead and give everyone a scoreboard update brought to you by Emil's on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They're right across from the Lindale Mall, next to the Home Depot, open at 4 o'clock Monday through Saturday, and online at emilshideaway.com. What do we got today?
Sports Illustrated has named its Sports Person of the Year. That is Simone Biles, the Olympic gymnastics champion. Alabama quarterback Jalen Milroe announced today he is entering the NFL draft. The Pro Bowl teams have been announced in the NFL. Three Hawkeyes have made the team. In the NFC, George Kittle of the 49ers and Tristan Wirfs from Mount Vernon the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, again, made the NFC team. In the AFC, center Tyler Linderbaum of Baltimore made that team. And finally, Jamie Pollard, Iowa State Athletic Director, issued a letter to fans yesterday noting that athletic department costs are expected to increase 20% in 2025. And as a result, giving levels are being increased. There will be sales tax on tickets sold. Women's basketball season tickets prices will rise. And coaches in all sports are being asked to reduce their budgets by 10%. Sign of the times.
Who said, Mark, that was going to happen about, what, 2-3 months ago? Was that this very program?
If not longer.
We're going to talk about that tomorrow and get the Cyclone fans' reactions to that. 319-366-1600, but right now we're going to talk wrestling. And a big thanks to Kurt Gustafson, Agency of American Family Insurance. Kurt, located on Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Lindale Mall and next to the Home Depot. He is the sponsor of our weekly visit with Mark Ironside, who usually joins us on Wednesdays, but that was the New Year's, and it's now a Thursday. Happy New Year to you, Mark.
How are you doing, boys?
Doing good. Are you in you hunting?
I am not. I tell you what, this weather and cold temps coming. I will be next week, so probably be calling in next week. If we do next week, I don't even know if we'll really even need to do a show next week because it's really not going to be much to report.
Well, we got to give Kurt his money's worth there.
I can give you a deer hunting report next week. Hopefully I'll have something good to tell there.
He'd probably.
That's not what he sponsors, the deer hunting reports with Mark Ironside. But, you know, he's a hunter, so maybe.
You never know. Well, how was, looking back, Soldier Salute a few days ago, your thoughts?
Hey, real quick, I turned on the radio because I'm driving and I was listening to Mark. Real quick, I know this is not me, but I just caught the tail end of what you were just talking about the budgets and stuff. Give me the Cliff Note version of what you said that you're going to talk more about tomorrow about the Iowa State budgets and stuff again real quick.
Oh, Mark, go ahead.
Yeah, the athletic department at Iowa State expected to rise 20% in 2025, and as a result, they're going to increase giving levels. They're going to start charging sales tax on tickets. Women's basketball season tickets are going to rise, and all coaches are being asked to reduce their budgets by 10%.
So, sales tax. So they don't charge sales tax for tickets right now?
They do, but they absorb that.
They absorb it. Okay, that's what I was confused on, huh? Well, then that makes sense, I guess. So. Yeah, tough times. The University of Iowa, I'm sure, is right behind them.
Everybody's going to be right behind them.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk some wrestling, should we?
Yeah.
Soldier Salute. You know, there were some bright things and then some not so bright things. But the good thing was is that's what the Soldier Salute tournament this time of year was for. It was for an opportunity for a lot of these guys, whether you're a starter or a non-starter, a backup or whatever it may be, wherever, it doesn't matter where you're on the depth chart, everybody gets a chance to wrestle. You take the entire team there, and then you got an opportunity to evaluate, see where you're at, and you got a full 2 weeks right now if you're a starter to go and work on things and approve and watch some video and make some serious gains. And I think that was a a tournament that was, it couldn't have come at a better time for the team. And obviously we have a lot to work on and improve on, which, you know, every team does, but this time of year, but there's definitely an opportunity there for us to make some serious gains between now and the 1st of March.
Mark, did you feel deprived not seeing Ferrari and Arnold Russell?
Deprived. That's a great word, Mark. I don't know about deprived. I'd have to look up the actual true definition of deprived. Was I bummed by it? Absolutely. I really wanted to see that match. I know that I watched Tom's presser, and he talked about, like, you know, like, hey, why right now? There's no need to do that right now. I mean, even if Ferrari wins, we're not pulling his red shirt, blah, 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 or whatever. And, you know, I'm sure Tom has his reasons and stuff or whatever, but I mean, on the outside looking in, I'm like, whoa, what's it going to hurt for them to wrestle? Just let's say Ferrari wins. That still doesn't mean you have to pull the red shirt, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I guess I would have, if I was a reporter, I would have asked them the question, what negative would have came if they wrestled? Like, I mean, that's the type of stuff that I want to know. Whether Tom would have straight up answered it or not, I don't know. But I would like to have seen wrestle. It's iron sharp as iron. They probably don't wrestle in the room. I don't know. So it would benefit. I think it would benefit both of them. You know, I think that would be an opportunity for them to get warmed up and get ready for a big match, an important match, and with a lot of eyes on them. And I don't think like anything but good could come from it. And that doesn't mean that all of a sudden, whoever for sure, you know, if Ferrari wins, that you know you're pulling his red shirt right then and there. But at least you know where you're at. So that's how I answer that.
Is that what's a medical medical forfeit then? That's the way that Mats was termed.
Yeah, but I mean, was he hurt? No, I think that was just a term to where it's not going to hurt a ranking or anything like that. But it gives Ferrari. Was he hurt? I mean, I don't know. I mean, it just he just gave somebody a win. I don't think it really matters. He could have had. You know, probably could have had Ferrari medical forfeit. I don't know. I mean, I really don't look into that too much or whatever. Gabe wasn't hurt that I'm aware of that I saw or anything. So I think it was just a terminology, how they came about who was going to actually win the match, you know, and who was going to take the medical forfeit. I don't think it really matters. So I don't know.
Did we learn more about what Iowa's going to do in the future at 125 and 141?
Well, 125, you still got Kale Peterson in the mix. He wrestled 133, but he still weighed in and kept his, I don't know what you call it at 125, drawing a blank, you know, certification. He still kept his certification at 125. So he technically wrestled, weighed in at 125. Or whatever you have to. Maybe it's like 128. He could be within 3 pounds, or and then 129 the next day, or so. I don't know exactly the exact weight, but whatever it was, he weighed in. So he's still a factor at 125. Whether he just didn't have his weight under control perfectly after Christmas, I don't know. But he's still a valuable asset at 125. So no, they have not solved anything at 125. I will say though, it doesn't look good for us when. If it is Joey Cruz, that if he is our starting 125 pounder, I mean, it shows our where we're at 125 when he places sixth at the Soldier Salute tournament, and it's pretty much the same thing at 141 too with Chase Rhodes getting fourth and Colin Schriever getting sixth, and I don't know where Ryder Block is, you know how you know where he's at on an injury standpoint or what, but. If he's not back, and I don't know if it's like you know, a huge difference between Ryder Block and those guys, but we're struggling at 25 and 41. And also we're struggling at 57, obviously, where we didn't place us. We didn't place Benton, didn't even place there. Unless Teamer is in the lineup, we're going to struggle there as well, too. And it's going to be difficult for us to win some big dual meets if we continue to wrestle like we are at 25, 41, and then if Teamer's not back at 57.
One of the questions on the text line, Mark, from 9155, why are so many teams not sending their starters to the Soldier Salute? And that, for me, That begs the question, is the Soldier Salute, what's the Soldier Salute doing to attract more and complete teams?
Well, I think that Josh Hamburger and Luke Eustace are doing everything in their power that they possibly can to attract other teams and bring in starters, just even getting some of the teams here. I mean, look at Doug Schwab. He brought basically everybody but half a dozen starters, you know, or basically starters. But the thing is and I don't know what their schedule is. I haven't looked at it. The funny thing was all the starters were there. I mean, they were there watching. So why, if you're here watching, why the hell aren't we wrestling? You know, I think it was a good opportunity for, you know, I could see David Taylor and Thomas Gilman who came and brought some freaking really, really good young talented wrestlers to come in and get some good matches. I could see them coming and not bringing their starters just because, you know, they wrestled us in February to bring their starters. But I thought that was awesome for them to bring the talent that they brought and come all the way here for this tournament and get those guys some matches and both of them come and coach in person. I thought that was awesome. Kudos to them. Kudos for Eustace reaching out to them. Navy brought their whole team. Missouri brought guys this year, which they haven't done in the past. So maybe that'll intrigue Missouri. Like, I think it's more so feelers. Like, hey, you know, what's this tournament about? What's the accommodations about? You know, and I think every year this tournament is going to continue to grow and get bigger. And I love the tournament. I think it's great. I think it's exactly what the Hawkeyes need. Yeah, I would like to see stiffer competition, but at the same time, it's tough around Christmas. It's really tough to get an entire lineup there a couple of days after Christmas, but people did it for years. For the Midlands Championship, but boy, has the Midlands Championship gone way down as well too. So I don't know. I'm not too disappointed in the field there. It'll continue to keep getting better. And Josh Schomberger and Luke Eustace are doing a phenomenal job and really working hard at making this something great.
Yeah, Mark Ironside joining us here at 3:30 on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class. Georgia Notre Dame still scoreless, by the way. In the middle of the first quarter down in New Orleans right now. Who looked good for Iowa, in your opinion?
I think Parco at 149. That's probably the best I've seen him look. I was very impressed with Parco at 149, especially in the finals. Can't remember the kid's name from North Carolina, but that kid's freaking good.
Oh, McNeil.
McNeil. He's All-American last year. He beat Real Woods at the national tournament last year. And Parco made him look silly. I was very impressed. He was really physical. He was offensive. He didn't let up. If I had to give a wrestler on the Iowa team an OW, it would have been Parco. Buchanan looks pretty good, except for the kid from Okie State, that touted freshman from Oklahoma State that was out of California. He was a four-time state champ out of California, wrestled for Daniel Cormier's high school and undefeated through California. I mean, that kid was good, but I think Buchanan respected him too much. And I think Buchanan said that actually in one of his press conference too afterwards or whatever to the media. Right? You can just tell when he's wrestling. He gave him way too much respect. It wasn't the Buchanan that Stevie Buchanan that we've kind of seen wrestling in the Hawkeye singlet. Patrick Kennedy did really well, except for in the finals. You know, he came out. That's a match where he could be getting a major, for sure. Major. And he knows it. You know, he knows it. No points in the third period. Buchanan, no points in the third period of his finals match. I just wish, you know, back in the day, you know, and I hate saying that. I just hate that, you know, comparing. But, I mean, it doesn't matter if it's back in the day or yesterday. You know, if Iowa prides itself on conditioning and tenacity and offensiveness, when you go into the third period, it's a one-point match either way. I mean, it's a slam dunk. Iowa's winning this match. Or if Iowa's already winning this match, it's gonna be a freaking bashing because they're gonna be so that other guy's gonna be so tired or so fatigued, and the Iowa guys continue to keep rolling in the third period, and we're not seeing that. My thing is we're just not seeing third period wrestling like we should. And building leads in the third period. And that's why I think that we faltered a little bit. Keeter, he didn't put a whole lot of points on the scoreboard this weekend. I think he left a lot of points on the mat. I don't know if he just – nutrition seemed off, seemed tired. I don't know if he just didn't do a good job over Christmas with his nutrition or what, but he seemed really tired and fatigued. And in the finals, he didn't finish that first shot right out of the gate. It took a lot out of him. I mean, he's extended on the edge. He's trying to finish. He's burning up a lot of energy on the edge. Just get out of bounds and get to a fresh start. You're not going to probably finish here anyway. So we just left a lot of points out there. Who else we got? We already talked about 84 Ferrari and Arnold. They both looked great the whole tournament. They looked really, really good the whole tournament. It just was a bummer that they didn't compete against each other in the finals. What else do we got? 64 or 65 Caliendo looked pretty good throughout the tournament. Same thing with him. Probably let up a little bit too much in the third period where he could have scored some points, left some points out there. He did get a couple of pins or tacks. So early on, when you're wrestling guys in the Soldier Salute, our guys looked really good, our starters, and put up a lot of points. But as the competition started getting a little bit tougher, I think we respected it too much and didn't get after it enough. 33, Drake Ayala, he looked good. He got better at finishing shots. You know, he's a scrapper. He's hitting a lot of different shots. He's being very versatile with his arsenal. I love seeing that. I was impressed there with Drake, and I just have to continue to keep building. So, and the other thing about Keeter was I was kind of bummed that he didn't go down in the third period in his finals match. Not that it mattered score-wise, but I'm just really surprised we just didn't an automatic just go down and get a one-point escape. Instead, we won 1-0 on a riding time point, and it just concerns me a little bit if we can't go down underneath a guy like that. That's just not like a superstar stud or anything. We can't even get out from underneath. We don't have enough confidence to get out from underneath him within a minute. That's a little bit concerning.
Yeah. We got to wrap her up here. Iowa State, Terracina won. You and I had 10 wrestlers that placed, I know. So what did you think about their you and I and Iowa State there?
I didn't watch them a ton, but what I did see, I thought they competed well. That C.J. Carter, the backup heavyweight or third-string heavyweight, I think it was, he wrestled us really well. I thought Iowa State wrestled well from what I saw. You know, they didn't bring their starters or anything. Maybe Terracina, I guess. But they competed well. I thought, you know, you and I competed hard. You know, you and I guys wrestled you and I guys for like third and fifth and stuff like that I saw. So they competed against each other. So, I thought it was good. It was really good. It was awesome to see for me. And I know we're wrapping this up, but it was really fun for me to see all these former Hawkeyes there, whether they were there as assistant coaches, head coaches, or whatever, coming back to their alma mater and bringing some guys and competing and asking, you know, each other, I'm sure, how Christmas was, how the family is. And that's how I like it too. You know, it's just a little bit of a homecoming and a reunion a little bit for some of these guys and coming back. And I just like to see it. And I love the tournament.
All right. We'll get a little segment in next week. Maybe some deer All hunting, right. Maybe something. We're going to talk about something next week.
All right. Sounds good, boys.
And we'll be back on a Wednesday.
All right. That sounds even better.
All right. Take care. Happy New Year, Mark.
All right. Thanks, fellas. See you guys.
You bet. Mark Ironside joining us courtesy of Kurt Gustafson, Agency of American Family Insurance on Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids. And we are going to talk some hoops with Kevin Lehman, the coach, with our Off the Glass segment when we come back.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast, and we are going to have snow winding down gradually as we head through this afternoon. Then for this evening, there could be some slick spots on the roads, but we'll have clear skies tonight, and temperatures will be dropping down to a low around 10. Winds will be picking up through the night, and wind chills will be around zero. Tomorrow, we'll have sunny skies. Temperatures, though, will be held to around 20. The weekend will stay chilly and cloudy with a chance that we could see some snow, especially in the south, Saturday night into Sunday. That's your latest Weather First forecast.
Your old golf clubs give new hope to veterans. The Give Foundation uses golf as a free rehabilitation treatment for combat injured veterans. You make it happen when you donate your old clubs. Right now, the Give Foundation is accepting donations at Billion of Iowa City. Drop your old clubs off by January 4th and receive a $100 gift certificate for Billion Service Department. It doesn't matter what condition they're in. Make a meaningful impact with your old golf clubs. Donate them to the Give Foundation at Billion of Iowa City through January 4th.
Scott Unash here for your neighborhood Quickstar, and life is busy as we turn into the new year, and Quickstar gets it. Whether you're craving fresh hot coffee, a tasty bakery treat, or a quick grab-and-go meal or a snack, Quickstar is your go-to for whatever you need, whatever in the neighborhood. Just stop on by. They've got everything that you can get, including clean restrooms, fresh groceries, easy meal options, and everything in between. And they got some great specials going on right now, and that includes bananas, jumbo onions, or baking potatoes, 29 cents a pound, limit 10 pounds. Also, Quickery snack pies. They are delicious. 4 ounces, and they are 5 for $5 or $1.49 each, limit 5. And they got Quickery cheese mountain pizza ready to go on special today and Friday. Thin crust $6.99, traditional specialty crust $9.99. A quick and easy dinner idea for those busy nights. All available at your neighborhood Quickstar.
Tune in to 1600 ESPN every weekday at 5 o'clock with Spencer on Sports for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Texting enrolls you in recurring automated marketing text messages. Consent are required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
The team's looking good this season.
I think so. Man, I miss playing football. Being young with unlimited energy to burn ever since I turned 40. I just can't find that fire I used to have.
Think it could be lower testosterone?
What do you mean?
All guys lose their edge when they turn 40. The body has less testosterone. That's why I take Nugenix Total T.
I've heard about Nugenix. That really works?
Since I started taking Nugenix, I'm lifting like when we played for Coach Carter. I feel more energized at work. It's even spiced up things between me and the missus.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try?
Yep, send a text. It's that easy.
Text LIKE to 424-24. Right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T. It's the number one selling testosterone boosting brand at GNC and Walmart. Do it now and they'll also send you a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, their newest, most powerful fat burner ever, absolutely free. Text LIKE to 42424. That's LIKE to 42424.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
I'm Chris Shooter Lehman. The nickname has followed me from my college basketball days. Lifelong Iowa City resident and the youngest of nine, I've been involved in real estate for the past 25 years. I have extensive experience in both residential and income investment property. That gives me a definite edge in guiding you through today's changing market. I will guide you through the process and you can make informed decisions.
Chris Shooter Lehman with Edge Realty Group. Email shooter at edge-realtygroup.com.
Back with you at 3:40 here on the Thursday, January 2nd edition of the Gym Class right here on 1600 ESPN. Thank you very much for joining us. Do appreciate it. Georgia, Notre Dame still scoreless. Georgia was driving. They got it in the red zone and fumbled. Notre Dame with the recovery and the Irish will have the ball. 319-366-1600. And it is time now for our Thursday visit with the coach, Kevin Lehman. And that is always brought to you each and every Thursday, our Off the Glass segment by Chris Lehman with Edge Realty Group in Iowa City. And he always passes the ball to you, as you know. Happy New Year, by the way, Kevin.
Well, same to you guys. Hope you had a good day yesterday.
Yeah, well, did. Hey, 2025 is going to be spectacular. I'm just looking forward to it in a big way. Today, Chris is asking you if you perfected your jumper in the old barn growing up. Now, what kid in Iowa did not do that?
Well, we actually had two. We had one we called Steer Stadium and one we called Cow Palace. One was actually in a barn, so if it was a day like today when it snowed, we could play inside up on the second mile, and the other one was outside if you had to move my dad's combine or tractor to use that piece of concrete. But here's the problem. If you were the low guy in the totem pole and it was cold out, we had two balls. Remember those old Voigt balls that cost like $4?
Yes.
One was on the oven inside, so the low man in the totem pole, the youngest, had to go climb down the wall, go inside, and switch balls and come back with a warm one that would bounce.
Things you never thought you would experience in your life, yeah, but there it is.
The reason we had those $4 Voigt balls is because there was nails sticking out in that hay mow, and if you had a bad shot, it was going to puncture it, so you had to get a new ball.
Speaking of barns, Kevin, what was Allen Fieldhouse like?
I tell you what, Mark. That building has a soul. It's unbelievable to go in there. They just did a $70 million renovation, but they kept the interior intact, wooden seats. It's unbelievable. And we did not have the student body in there. They had a kids clinic, so they had all these parents and kids in there. But still, what an experience. I've seen games in there. I've been to many practices in there with Kansas, but that is the first time I've broadcast a game in Allen Fieldhouse. And I tell you, it's one of the high points of my broadcast career.
Well, and you got to see a good one, and you got to see an upset. A very, very shorthanded West Virginia team came in and somehow beat Kansas.
Well, and here's the rest of that story. Their plane landed to pick them up, and four tires blew. They had to go back. They went back to campus, and a new plane had come in. They didn't get to Lawrence, Kansas. It was 3 o'clock, 3 a.m. East Coast time, 2 a.m. our time. It was a 1 o'clock tip. Those guys operate on almost no sleep. And like Darren DeVries said, this was a 12-hour trip for them. Not only did Tucker DeVries not play, but their starting center, Hansberry, who was averaging like 10 and 7, he's got a boot on from getting hurt the game before. So this is a team that he had like 8 bodies that he could play in that game. And here's the amazing part about it. West Virginia has never won there. Bob Huggins lost twice in overtime. You know, one time he got tossed. I don't know if you remember that game. It was pretty iconic. And Kansas has not lost, get this number, a Big 12 season opening game on the road at home since 1993. A lot of records broken in that game, New Year's Eve.
Well, one of the chief competitors for West Virginia will obviously be Iowa State. Really an impressive road victory at Colorado, having played the Buffaloes before at Colorado and winning there. That was impressive.
Well, I think Scott called it. He said, you know, playing them again after playing them in the in Maui was not going to be easy, and it wasn't. It had come from behind. But, you know, my favorite player for the Cyclones right now is Joshua Jefferson. Did you see his stat line? 13 points, 7 rebounds. He's got 8 steals. The guy is 6'8", 230-some pounds. I just think he gives a special dimension to this Iowa State team. And they've got a Baylor team coming in into Hilton Coliseum next.
Yeah, that's going to be a heck of a game because Baylor's playing good basketball right now. And they've got the bigs that can match up with Iowa State. Now, granted, in Hilton, it's going to be really difficult.
Well, no question. You know, and I was trying to compare, you know, I've done games in Hilton. I've coached in Hilton. I actually played in Hilton early when it was built. It's got a different. It's a great venue, but it's just got a different feel than Allen Fieldhouse, just because of the ghosts that hang around Allen Fieldhouse. But Hilton Coliseum, that's a great home court advantage. And you know, the guy that's coming in to play for Baylor, we connect the dots here. Nochard Omier was at Miami, and remember Jim Larrañaga came back from Final Four, and he had 8 players in his office wanting to transfer after their Final Four run. This is a guy, I think he stayed one more year than left for Baylor. So he's a bit of that domino effect of the mid-season retirement of the Miami coach, Jim Larrañaga.
Iowa gets back into league play tomorrow, I think it is, at Wisconsin. Maybe not the best time to play the Badgers because they are off to an 0-2 start in the Big Ten. What are you making this matchup?
Yeah, no question, Mark. You got to go into a place, and they're hungry. They don't want to be 0-3. Tough matchup. John Tanya, Arizona, he had like, oh, what do you have? He had 41 points against Arizona. They need to get Sador Traore healthy for that game because they got to be able to guard Tanya, who's coming about 6'5". But this guy can really score the basketball. He's averaging 19-plus a game. This is a Wisconsin team that gets the free throw a lot. And if you look at Big 10 play, Iowa is like in those two games, they're like a minus 12 rebound. And we've talked about this before. They're going to have to increase that rebound. And I think Traore is going to really help the Hawkeyes in that department.
Owen Freeman sat out the New Hampshire game, I think just more as a precautionary measure, just to get ready. And there was no reason to play him against New Hampshire anyway. Ended up kind of like everybody thought it was going to be. But they need to have a rested and a very healthy Owen Freeman to go through the Big Ten. He's gonna take his bumps and bruises anyway throughout that schedule.
Well, especially since they've gone that small lineup, they're playing him at that five spot. So he's going to – it's going to be physical in there, and Sanford's going to have to pick it up on the glass. Peyton Sanford for the Iowa Hawkeyes be successful, because you're going to get into a Big 12 play where it's going to be rugged, especially when you go on the road in that league. It is going to be a physical matchup. So the Hawks got to step up their physicality. We know they're going to run, shoot threes, but many times it's hard to slow another team down. It's easy to slow a team down as a speed a team up. So you may see teams really trying to slow this Hawkeye team down once you get into, especially on the road in Big Ten play.
Kevin, there's one team in the state that's undefeated in Missouri Valley Conference play. It's not Drake. So what do you think of the Bulldogs and you and I being 3-0?
Well, Bulldogs, yeah, that was a tough place to play. If you've ever been to UIC, that is one of those empty gyms. You're kind of down the hole. It's really difficult. A venue to play in. I was not surprised that Drake's going to take some lumps. I really think in the Valley, guys, if you go 17-3, you're going to win that league outright. 16-4, you're probably going to get a share of that title. Northern Iowa playing really well right now. I've got their game Saturday. They're going to Valpo, which is also a difficult venue to play because basically it's a big high school gym. Although you and I have had great success here, but this is a better Valpo team. They took Bradley into overtime at Bradley. And then they just had a big win here at Missouri State just last night. So this is a much improved Valpo team. Remember Roger Powell? He played for Illinois back in their Big Ten championships. He is the new coach at Valpo in his second year. They call him the Reverend because he is an ordained minister. He's getting that Valpo program rebuilt.
He is. And right now, Bradley, you and I, and Drake are kind of the cream of the crop as far as the MVC is concerned. I know Mark loves Nat. Drake's still at 57, so hanging in there a little bit, and you and I and Bradley in the 70s. So those three right now are kind of determining how the MVC is going to go.
Yeah, but I think there's going to be some upsets in there. And this Belmont team I had last night at UNI can really score the basketball. Tough road trip, because when Murray State and Belmont come on this swing, they have to play Drake and Northern Iowa on that one road trip. So Belmont leaves 0-2. Murray State's coming in. I've got them Sunday at Drake. Then they go up to you and I Wednesday, another game I have. That's a tough road trip, coming in and play Drake and the Panthers on that same trip. But I think Belmont has something to say in this. And I also think this Indiana State team, Matthew Gray's in his first year, they gave Bradley all they wanted last night. That's another team. Like most of these leagues, you're going to lose some. You're going to see some losses on the road. So don't scratch your head too much. It's just that much parity. And I asked Casey Alexander yesterday, if the Valley was as good this year as last year, I think we both kind of agreed, such a loss of talent through the portal that there's maybe more balance top to bottom, but probably not quite as good because of that Indiana State team and that Drake team last year was so good.
Iowa State, you mentioned Baylor and then Utah at home. There's pretty good chance Iowa State starts off the Big 12 at 3-0, and it's going to be a tough enough league, but you got to win those games at home. So that's what makes that Baylor game, national TV, CBS coming up on Saturday, before a trip to Lubbock and Texas Tech lost. It's always interesting, the first couple of outings in conference play, because everybody's got a pretty shiny record in the non-conference. Now you kind of get to see who is actually good and who is kind of was playing with monopoly money.
Well, and that's a great point because, you know, Texas Tech got beat at home by Central Florida. Kansas, I saw them up close and personal. There's some flaws in this Kansas team. They really struggle offensively. Bill Self's comment after that loss to West Virginia was, that is the worst offensive performance I've had my teams do in the 22 years I've been here. So that's saying a lot. You know, Hunter Dickinson, he's a different type of animal when you see him in person. Doesn't really have a low post game where he wants to get inside and really bang people. Wants to finesse you, wants to shoot jumpers from 15 to 17 feet. They've really struggled offensively. Their loss at Creighton, kind of the same formula as their loss at Missouri. They're not guarding DeJuan Harris. They're not guarding K.J. Adams. So you're basically an offense. They're playing 3 against 5. And West Virginia did a little bit of the same thing. But back to Iowa State, I mean, that's what I think makes them so tough. They are so deep. You've got Curtis Jones come off the bench, big game at Colorado. And as I said before, they can win playing fast, and they can win playing slow. How about this one, guys? You know, Iowa State's leading the Big 12 in points per game. This is a T.J. Otzelberger team. You know, 3 years ago, they were trying to win games first to 60.
Times have changed. Times have changed. Yeah, Jones won that game the other night in Colorado. Now, I have absolutely determined that in my head.
He was pretty good when he came to Carver Hawkeye, too, if you remember that game. You know, when he comes off the bench, I would say there's a national award for sixth man of the year. He's going to be the top candidate, Curtis Jones. And they've also got some really good mileage out of their transfer from Northern Iowa. Nate Heisey has played really well for him. It's a big physical team. It'd be interesting to watch. I think Iowa State can run the table at home at Hilton, and I think that's what you're going to have to do to win this league. And then, you know, this is the only year the Big 12 is going to play 20 games. They're going back to 18 next year. And I asked Bill Self about it, and he says, I need more flexibility in scheduling because he's playing all those big events in November, those made-for-TV games. So he's really a proponent of 18 games and not 20. I'd rather see the Big 12 play 20, but that's not going to happen in the future.
I'd rather see everybody play 20. All right, you're heading to Valpo tomorrow. Travel safely, man. We'll talk next week.
All right, I got to get my four-wheel truck ready to go tomorrow, guys. And like my brother said, you're like Kirk Herbstreit. And I said, no, he's on a Learjet. I'm on a national rental car. It's a little bit different. And I think his checkbook's a lot bigger than mine.
All right. Thanks a lot, Kevin. We'll talk next week.
All right, guys. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Kevin Lehman, the coach, joins us on Thursdays. The Off the Glass segment is brought to you by Chris Lehman with Edge Realty Group in Iowa City. We'll take a break, come back, and wrap things up for you right after this.
Life's busy, and Quick Start gets it. Whether you're grabbing fresh coffee, a bakery treat, or a quick meal, Quick Start is your go-to for quality and fast service. From clean restrooms to fresh groceries, easy meal options, and guaranteed fuel, we make your day easier. Plus, enjoy perks like free ATMs, free air for your tires, and sweet rewards with the Quick Rewards program. Everything you need in one stop, and always a friendly. See you next time. Quick Start, where your day gets easier and better.
Business owners, are you tired of hearing, I didn't know you were here? Frustrated that your unique story isn't being told? If your sales are flat or declining, it's time for a change. I'm Stacy Daybault, branding specialist and strategist with KZIA, and I have the solution. Brandsformation is a proven marketing system that delivers results. You'll have an entire team of experts working on your message to inspire and drive sales.
To schedule an appointment, call this station or text BRAND to 76626.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym.
And it was a Wednesday, but it was also New Year's Day, Mark. So our second straight week off Bowling Night in America. We will be back at it next week, though.
Bye weeks are good in bowling.
Don't happen very often.
No.
Yeah, but you can still stop on by at May City Bowl and inquire. Check out the pro shop and inquire about open bowling.
Yeah, give them a call, 362-0136, or visit the website maycitybowlcr.com.
Georgia, Notre Dame, early second quarter, no score, and Georgia has dominated but has not scored. They're going to get ready to kick a field goal, it looks like. They're down just outside the red zone to try to get on the board first in that particular ball game. And 85-82 on the text line, the Big 12 can play 20 when the SEC plays 9 conference football games. Now, that is actually, I believe, happening in a few years down the road. They are going to transfer to 9. I think everyone's going to have the same number at that time. But I get your point. That's just 2 more games against the New Hampshires and the Central Oklahomas of the world.
Yeah. True enough.
3-0 Georgia. Field goal is good. Dogs lead it early. We will have the pick six coming up tomorrow. We'll have this week's results. We will have football coming up tomorrow as well. Mark, have a good night. We'll talk tomorrow.
Sounds great. Talk then.
It's been the Gym Class, 1600 ESPN.
Did you know your skin is the largest organ of your body?
Huh?
That's why you should shower with Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash instead of plain old bar soap. Love your skin by super hydrating it with vitamin B3 and glorious notes of vanilla and shea. Did you know?